This has been something that's been on my heart for a while, and believe the Lord would have us to take a look at our brother's life, at least a portion of his life, what was written about him. And I'll tell you right off, it's a big undertaking, but we're going to take a look at the life of Ezekiel, okay, or the book of Ezekiel. Now, a couple things that I want to tell you about, and the book of Ezekiel's got 50-some chapters. It's a long book. Brother Jim, we're going to be camped out here for 2 years. No, Lord willing, we're not going to be camped out here for 2 years, okay? What we're going to do, the Lord being our helper, we're just going to take a look at the subjects, and we may have times we might get kind of bogged down. I don't want to get bogged down with it. The Lord's put this book in the scripture for us to be able to see things and understand things, and I want you to, so it's here for a reason. I don't want to get in a thing where I just drone on about the detail of the book and to where we're just, we have trouble, keeping track and keeping our focus on what it is we need to be getting out of it. There are a lot of things here. And again, we've been given it to us by our Lord for a reason, and may our Lord help us to understand. I believe the Lord has helped me to understand about the Lord's use of Ezekiel and him and his life. And, I understand that that's the way the Lord works. He uses our lives for the continuance and furtherance of his work and ministry on this earth. He does that. He calls and saves sinners and then uses them for his honor and his glory unto other sinners, okay, as a witness of him, whether it be a witness to them of being, and they are saved, the Lord saves them, or it's a witness to them of condemnation. But the Lord works and does that way. As we look at our brother and consider our brother's life here, I want you to think about the Lord's calling upon you and the great contrast. I guarantee you, everyone in the house, the great contrast between what the Lord called Brother Ezekiel to do and what he called you and me, has called you and me to do. Now, I don't know the end of your life, but I do know those that have lived in our time and have gone on to be with the Lord before us and are here with us now. And then, if the Lord tarries, we'll go on to be with the Lord. I don't know of anybody that the Lord has called in my lifetime that I have known to do what he called Brother Ezekiel to do. And so the reason I say that is when you and I get the woe is me's, May we be thankful for what our Lord has given us and called us to and done for us, okay? Because there is more. Now, the brother will have a great blessing for being obedient to the Lord and the things that the Lord called him to. And you and I are not before our Lord and to accomplish the things that he called Ezekiel to do. You and I have before us to do what the Lord's called us to do. Okay, and so that's the working and the economy of our Lord, but we just need to remember that, and so that's one thing to gain here. So I want you to turn first to John chapter 12. Then this is something that is so might kind of be a theme as we consider this, and you consider some other brethren. We'll list some names here. In John chapter 12, it says in verse 37, John 12, 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, John writing, that the saying of Isaiah, or that is Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah has said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Men that have been called to do things, I would say, above the limitation of the physical body, were blessed by the Lord to see his glory. And that's, we're going to see that with Brother Ezekiel too. You can write him down here with Ezekiel. We're going to consider his situation, and then you think about Moses. The Lord called Moses to do a great thing. The Lord called Moses to do a lonely thing from the standpoint of people. So was it the case with Ezekiel. So was it the case with Isaiah. Right? So was the case, and John the Apostle spent the time of the Lord's ministry with him. So he saw the Lord, and then the Lord called him to be exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And these men were blessed to see the glory of the Lord, because in seeing the glory of the Lord, you know, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." He saw his corruption, and he saw what he was himself. But then, when the Lord's saying, "Who will we send?" Isaiah says, "Well, send me." And that was a lonely call to be one man to stand against in the word of the Lord an entire nation. I mean, you and I think about getting lonely, and they were vehement against some of these brethren. Who else? The Apostle Paul, right? Saw the glory of the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he was called to do a great thing. Even those saved Jews had trouble with what Paul was called into, even though Peter had given the testimony of the Lord saving Gentiles, that there were those that had trouble with the Apostle Paul, of his own countrymen, with his call to the Gentiles. And so you may think of some others. Abraham was a man that saw the power and glory of the Lord. I think about when he offered the sacrifice there and couldn't keep the birds away from it, and that horror of darkness came over him. You know, he experienced the power of the Lord in that. So that seems awful terrible, Brother Jim. Well, see, what it is the Lord brought Abraham to the end of himself, to where Abraham needed and had to trust the Lord. And that's what we all need to do. We all need to see the glory of the Lord and be assured in his calling upon us and follow him in it. Here in Ezekiel chapter 1, if you turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 1. "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, that I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." So here, and we're going to talk about this more next time, Lord willing, with the next chapter, about this mentioning here of the 30th year, fourth month, fifth day. It's not really descriptive about what it is that this is pertaining to, but I think we can have some clarity about that here in the coming chapter. And so we invite you to think about that. And he's by the river of Chebar, over in Ur of the Chaldees. This is at a time, and we're going to take a look at that here quickly, of the captivity, okay? And it says here, verse number 3, where he says, verse number 1, "The heavens were open, and he saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month," verse 2, "which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity." So it gives an indication here about a time of captivity, Judah has been, Israel is long gone, and Judah is being taken captive. We're approaching, Ezekiel's time is approaching the end of Israel being a nation, okay, a nation unto themselves with their own government. And the thing is, specific things that are mentioned here, the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of Jehoiachin's captivity. So he's telling very specifically when this is. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings chapter 24. Second Kings chapter 24, let's read in verse number 8. 2 Kings 24, verse number 8. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nehushta, and the daughter of, get my bifocals right, El Nathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem. The city was besieged. And remember that. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. That was their way of taking the city at this time and even beyond. Okay. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut into pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon the king of Israel had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother and the king's wives and all his officers and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000 craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, and all that were strong and apt to war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. This is the last king in Israel, or in Judah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim, okay, it's a different fella earlier, we'll see about him here shortly, had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out. Through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. There's another reference in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we'll not read it for the sake of time, verses 9 and 10, if you want to put that in your notes. It says there that Jehoiachin was 8 years old. And say, oh, a discrepancy in the scripture. Well, don't get excited about that. Whether it is or whether it's not, or whether it's just something that we don't understand, it doesn't remove the fact that indeed they rebelled and they were taken captive, and the king was taken captive by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. We look here where it says here it says here that they were by the river Chebar. Okay, and so we wanted to give you an idea of where that's at. I've got a few maps here, and you see right here in this area. Whoops, I'm out of practice on dealing with stuff. I used to do this all the time for using this stuff for work. I'm out of practice. Kind of an expansion on this area right here, okay? See that Chebar or Chebar? See this body of water going up through here, a river? It's got three branches that come into it. Here's the Euphrates River, okay? And here's the Tigris River. And those are significant at the beginning and end times. Here's a blow-up of that, okay, kind of moving in there. Mosul, you recognize that? That's modern-day Mosul is in the region of Nineveh, okay, where Nineveh and Jonah was sent to preach. Here's another map that shows that, and we'll zoom in on it. And the town that we look for to find this is this Basra, and that's the same body of water going up through here. See the Tigris there? Here's the Euphrates. They're along this river somewhere. That's where Ezekiel's at. Somewhere along, they're a long way from Israel. That's way over here. All right. Here's another map. I think this is a little bit more modern day. Doesn't show. It's kind of slid down. The map is, but you can see here, Basra, and here, there's that river. Little bit spelled a little bit different, or you know, the language difference, but there's those three tributaries. If I understand it correctly, in days gone by, that maybe even Nebuchadnezzar took these rivers, this river, and connected it to the Tigris, from the Euphrates to the Tigris, okay? And may have used the Jews to do that, amongst others that were taken captive. So that's where he's at, by the river Chebar, somewhere through there, so many hundreds, thousands of years ago. And he says that the Lord came to him, the heavens were open, and he saw visions of God. Verse number 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, directly to him, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And so, we've shown you where that's at. And it says here, the visions, he had the heavens were open, and the Lord came to him, not to any other. He was the only one that saw these things. And while he was there by the river Chebar, now maybe this is where their camp was. Maybe this was where the work was that they were doing. You know, we don't know exactly what was going on, but we know that he was there. And it says here that the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So he had the visions, but then the Lord is upon him big. It's that he says the hand of the Lord. It's as if the Lord has touched me. The Lord has touched me for these things. And it's very, very great. I looked and behold, verse 4, and a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. Out of the midst thereof was the color of amber. And, you know, a lot of times we read through the scriptures and, you know, I don't, there's a lot of things, I'm interested in, many things I don't know about. And, you know, it's like amber. Okay, well, I kind of know what amber is. You know, that's amber, some jewelry made out of amber. And there's some amber jewels and stones used for different things. I don't even know what it's used for other than for jewelry. And he says he saw this whirlwind coming out of the north. So from the north, it's coming down a specific direction, a great cloud, and fire enfolding itself. You know, at 9/11, if you watch those buildings burn and fall and all that and catch on fire, over in Dubai, they just had a building that caught on fire, multi-story building. And, you know, fire, when there's a bunch of fuel, you look at the sun, you see that fire enfolding itself. It's just there's a lot of fuel there, a lot of burning. He says he sees this great cloud and this fire enfolding itself. And he says, and the brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And so, best we can understand, we don't know exactly what he may have been thinking about, whether it was jewels or actually the compound or the mineral of amber. But he said it had the color of that. Verse 5, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And so as it approaches, the whirlwind, the cloud, this enfolding fire, out of the middle of it comes these four creatures, and this was their appearance. Let's read here quickly. They had the likeness of a man. Okay, what's the likeness of a man? Well, I would take it to be kind of like our bodies. Okay, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Okay, so we've got maybe something, a creature that's about the size of a man, okay, and kind of shaped like a man to a point, and had four wings. And it says in verse number 7, and their feet were straight feet. And he says here, and the sole of their feet was likened to the sole of a calf's foot. Okay, and if you've ever had occasion to go to the petting zoo or whatever, if you can remember, most animals, some of those animals will have a split, a hoof, a cattle like that will, and they're kind of their foot is short. You know, we've got a foot that sticks out quite a bit, some of us more than others, and that's the way the Lord's made us. But he said these creatures, their foot was more straight, kind of like a calf's foot. And you know, when I would read this and think about these creatures, say, well man, that's kind of getting things mixed up, isn't it? Taking the likeness of a man and mixing it with the things that we apply to animals? Well, this is God's creation. He can do with it what he wants. And you know what? It's all perfect and right. It goes on here and says, their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And so the bottom of it, you know, cattle like that, they'll kind of, they get on a hard surface, they kind of clip and clop around. You know, you can hear them. You hear them hitting the harder surface. Like another animal has pads on their feet, you don't hear them, okay? And so they're that way. They have four faces and four wings. Their feet are straight. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. So you think about brass. You know, I don't associate the color of brass, or maybe burnished brass. You know, you can burnish brass that way. Or, you know, you think about a trumpet, right? Burnished brass. What if it's like, it means burnished that's like shiny? So there, I don't attribute that color with something that lives, do you? I don't. But that's what he said that they look like, whether it be, you know, this kind of brass or really shined up brass. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. It's hard for me to, you know, Lord's made creatures on this earth. Some very colorful creatures that live in tropic areas and stuff like that. I mean, some of those colors are just amazing. Years ago, ViewSonic would use some kind of parrot to show the color that they would have. You know, they were really touting the color on their monitors that they could do. So, some of those colors are just amazing. Colors in the ocean and such as that. But I don't know of any animal that would look like that we know of on the earth. But that's the way these creatures are. You know, and they are right now. They had the hands of a man under their wing on their four sides. They had the hands of a man under their wings. So however these wings are, I would think about wings coming from the back. I don't know. But underneath them, they had hands under their wings on their four sides. So maybe more than two hands. We're used to having two hands. Maybe they have more hands than that. They four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. And so maybe the wings originate out of their bodies at the same point. It says here that they turned not when they went. So, you know, like if I'm here and I'm facing this way, but I'm going to walk that way, it doesn't do me good to try to do this or to do this. Some of you have been run over by me backing up. But see, they are there, and it seems to be that they are a four-faced creature. They have four faces, but it's not that all are facing forward. They're all facing the direction that they do. And any move they make is forward. Any move that they make is forward. They turned not when they went, and they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness, verse 10, of their faces, they four had the face of a man. Okay, so face of a man, let's say that that's facing forward, and Ezekiel kind of alludes to that, and the face of a lion on the right side. Okay, so if it's Ezekiel's right, it'd be my left, or vice versa. So a lion's face, is there one head with four faces? Brother Jim, this is kind of spooky. Well, it's not. It is the manifestation of greatness and power, but this is a creature that's been created by our God. This is a creature, these are creatures that were revealed to Ezekiel for a purpose. Okay? It's not filler, but this is the awesomeness and the further creatability of our Lord being revealed to our brother. Ezekiel is being convicted and convinced with great and strong conviction by our Lord. Likeness of their faces, they had a face of a man, face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. So there's four creatures that have these. So a face of an ox, I find that odd. I can see the lion, don't know about the ox. I don't know what it represents. I'll be honest with you. But you know what's pleasing to the Lord and he's made them this way. And then the face of an eagle. So it looks like the face of the man is forward, lion, ox, or lion, ox, and then to the back is that of an eagle. What a creature. And this isn't a spiritualized thing. This is a real thing. These creatures exist. What would you do if you saw one of these creatures? You open up your closet at home and there they were. Okay? I don't want to scare your children, but, you know, and that won't happen. But these creatures truly exist, and God's created them. Thus were their faces, verse 11, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. So he's saying two cover their bodies, and two of their wings stretch upward. Okay? Verse 12, and they went every one straight forward. Everyone straight forward, whether the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. Verse 13. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. All of us have been around a campfire or a weenie roast fire, and you know that those coals, those embers, that once the wood's all burned down, you know, pretty much the flame goes away. But I tell you what, it's putting off heat. Years ago when I was in college and part of the classes that we took was on burners for furnaces and gas burners, and they would had a frame there and had them all staged up, and then we had a certain kind of burner that was in a furnace for melting glass. And I remember being there, it was before I was saved, but I remember talking to a fellow there that I went to school and had that thing fired up, and it was 2,400 degrees Fahrenheit plus, because we were melting some glass and stuff. And I said, boy, hell's going to be hot, isn't it? He looked at me and he looked back at that and he said, well, yeah, it is, isn't it? These creatures have this appearance of burning coals. You know, they've never been extinguished. They looked like burnished brass. In the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. You know, little flames lit. You know, I think about a lamp in that day. You know, they'd have like an oil type of lamp or a candle or something like that. And then the bodies, they had the appearance of burnished brass. But then they also had the appearance of these burning coals. You know, are they changing? Are they going from looking like one thing to another? You know, is there, you know, we have our skin and we have the way we look, you know, and if I start getting red and blotchy or breaking out or whatever, you get concerned. Is it that these creatures, that their whole appearance is changing, is oscillating between this of burnished brass and these coals of fire? How can something that, I don't know if it is fire or not, that's what Ezekiel says it looks like, how could they even be alive? You know, we think about the way life is here with creatures. You know, our God can do anything, and he's done great and mighty things, and these beings are created for his honor and glory. Like the appearance of lamps, at the end of verse 13, it went down, up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. I like watching lightning from a safe place, don't you? I don't want to be out in lightning. But these creatures have that out of the fire, or what appears to be like burning coals of fire, burnished brass in their bodies, they've got lightning that comes out. Lightning. It's all kinds of energy. Well, they say some lightning strikes, you know, some of the things that they compare about a lightning strike here on the earth, they say, you know, if one lightning strike could be harnessed, it could power like New York City for a week or a day or 3 days or something like that. And these creatures have a physical feature of them is that lightning comes forth out of them. You know what? And nobody in heaven's tore up about it either. Nobody's bothered by it. It's normal. It's the way they are. It's the way they are. Brother Ezekiel's being shown these things. How big do you think Brother Ezekiel's eyes are? The biggest they've ever been. Amen? I mean, he's wowed. He's marveling more than he's ever marveled in his life. Amen? The appearance of lightning. Verse number 14. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. How's that for moving? I never could move as fast as lightning, but I sure can't do it now. But they move across there. You see them here and you see them there. Just that fast. They never turn around. They're always moving forward. Whether they go the direction of the face of the man, the face of the ox, face of the lion, face of the eagle. They're always moving forward. Always moving forward. Like lightning is. That lightning flash, boom, it comes, it's gone. That's the way that they move around. And Ezekiel saw these things. Verse number 15. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. So there's something about a wheel that is with these creatures for each of them. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. There's beryl. I don't know anything about beryl. I don't know if you ladies have had any jewelry. Beryl. All these different minerals or substances are known by their composition. Some different precious stones look different, but they know that they are what they are by the way that their crystal structure is, and by the way their the compound that they are. Okay, so they can have different appearances. And so, what's it say here? It says the wheel. The wheels and their work was likened to the color of beryl. So that, best we know, that's beryl. I don't know if that's the beryl that Ezekiel knew of, but, you know, we can kind of have a tendency to kind of think in black and white, maybe. You know, this is all colorful. These colors that these creatures are created and what the way they look, it's just fabulous. You and I have not seen something as spectacular as this. And won't until we arrive there in glory with our Lord. But the color of beryl is the work of these wheels. And they four had one likeness, the four wheels for each of the creatures. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And, you know, there's different ones that speculate. Brother Mark touched on this. You know, if you had a wheel running this way, does that mean it has a concentric wheel inside of it going the same, you know, running on the same axis? Or is that wheel turned maybe 90 degrees and so the outside wheel turns and this other wheel's inside of it? You know, if you know what have seen about a gyro, okay, a gyroscope, is it something like that? We just don't know. But listen to what it says about these wheels. Verse 17, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went, speaking about the creatures, I believe. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. So they have the appearance of a likeness of a man. So I'm judging that to be about the size. But the wheels, Ezekiel says, they've made me afraid. The wheels that when they were high and dreadful. It says that the wheels upon the earth as he's seeing them. There is a reference plane there of the ground. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And so now these rings, they're made of beryl, or have the appearance of beryl, rather, and a wheel in the middle of a wheel, and these wheels are there with these four creatures, and they all have these wheels apiece, and they're full of eyes. Now, hard for us to think of a table having eyes, or any kind of thing that's just physical to have eyes. But the Lord can do that. He's given us eyes. We really value our sight is very precious, don't we? I mean, you know, sight is something that is really, really precious and valuable. These wheels are full of eyes. And remember, they're so high that they're dreadful and they're full of eyes. And I don't think that, I don't take it, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't take it that they're like the figure of an eye. but they really are eyes. Really are eyes. Looking. Looking. And watching. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And so as these living creatures, they move, however they move, they've got a ring, a wheel, a ring, within a ring with them. And when they move, it goes with them. Goes with them. Do they all move together? Seemingly, maybe they do. The spirit that is in them, you know, wherever they go. What's it go? It goes on. Let's read verse 19. And when the creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Okay, so he had that started off with that planar reference of the ground, and then they went up, and the wheels go with them. And they come back down. The wheels go with them. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, whatever it was, I believe he's saying, whatever drives them, whatever causes them to move, they go together. And the spirit that is in them to move is in the wheels to move. And they go together. It's not like, oh, you're lagging behind, get caught. They're just there. And remember, when they move, it's like a flash of lightning. It's instant. It's incredible. Power and ability that we have never known in this physical world. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, verse 20, they went, thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. Okay, so they went with them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Okay, so we see that connect there is affirmed. When those went, these went. When the creatures went, the wheels went. All together. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness, verse 22, of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. I don't know what the terrible crystal is, but crystal gives an indication that it's maybe even transparent. There's a firmament over top of these creatures. A firmament. You know, when we think about the firmament, we think about this airspace that we live in here, right? The first heaven. Then we think about the clouds. Okay, and so is it talking about a cloud? Well, it says that it's crystal, so it's clear, but it's something. It's not just air, but it's something over top of them. A terrible crystal, the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. So there's something that goes with them as they move around. And I'm kind of taking it. They don't go their independent directions, but all four of them move together. That would be a guess, a supposing on my part. Verse number 23, and under the firmament were their wings straight, and under the firmament were their wings straight, the one towards the other. Everyone had two, which covered on his side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. So the two wings that we've seen that cover their bodies, two that are raised up, and maybe those wings touch the wings of their adjacent creature. I don't know, but it's something else. Verse number 24, and when they went, I heard the noise of their wings. So now there's the creature. No turning, moving a flash of lightning, coals of fire going up and down in their burnished brass appearance bodies, lightning that comes from that. And when they move, he hears the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters. You ever been by a waterfall? Ever been by, like, maybe you've been blessed to be able to go and see Niagara, or you see it at least on TV. I mean, the noise that falling water makes is deafening. Great waters, not just a little stream, but great waters. You go to a dam on the Mississippi or the Ohio River, and when the river's up and it's going over the spillway, it makes a lot of noise. Or these lakes that have been created when they're emptying those out. And so he says, it's like great waters. He says, as the voice of the Almighty, he said, it makes me think of what it would sound like if God would speak. The voice of speech. Like someone talking, maybe, and it not being able to be discerned. He said, "It's it's great. Could it be such that the noise of it makes things shake? The voice of speech, and it's the noise of an host. You know, we've all watched movies where there's been a great number of fighting, an army or whatever, moving in. And he's trying to describe it. And they stood and they let down their wings. So when they move, their wings go up. They move in a flash of lightning, and then they let their wings down when they stop. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. So he sees these creatures and he tells about them, and then he sees this firmament and he tells about how they move around, these wheels within a wheels that each of them seems to have, and we think that they move together, and he sees the firmament above them and just kind of taking all this in. He's the noise, the voice, and then he looks on up above that. Over their heads of these creatures was what looks like a throne. It looks like a throne. It's the likeness of a throne. Probably, no doubt, it's a throne. It looks like a throne, but it's a throne like I've never seen before. Now, understand, Ezekiel very well may have seen Nebuchadnezzar sitting on his throne. And I guarantee you, Nebuchadnezzar had a throne. And if there was anybody that Nebuchadnezzar occupied that had a throne better than his, he took it too. And he said, I see the likeness of a throne up there above that firmament as the appearance of sapphire stone. Sapphire. Well, that's pretty, isn't it? You know, sapphire. That's... He said, best we can understand, that's what the throne looks like. It's kind of blue like that, like a sapphire. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as of the appearance of a man above upon it. So there's somebody sitting on the throne. And you know what? To the one that's sitting on that throne, all of this is normal. You and I, if we'd be up there sitting on that throne, we'd be scared to death. I think Brother Ezekiel, he's afraid too. But the one that sits on that throne, that's normal for him. Everything's just right. Everything's the way it ought to be. The throne of God. The throne of the Lord. What's it go on to say? And I saw as the color of amber, which we've taken a look at that, a likeness as appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. So that there's the appearance of burning up there. A sapphire throne and the appearance of a man. But there's fire at hand too. From the appearance, I saw the color of amber, and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about. So it looks like amber, it looks like fire, and it's bright. The holiness of God shining forth. The unveiled, unrestricted holiness of the Lord shining forth. Our God's in his element, isn't he? Our great Lord and Savior and King is right there where he belongs, and the brightness of his glory shines. Verse number 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. So a rainbow. Isn't that something, that part of the Lord's throne is a rainbow? You know, he gave us the promise of the rainbow, that he'd never flood the earth again. Isn't it sickening and blasphemous how the Sodomites have taken this feature of the throne of God and looked to defile it, to be a moniker for them and their cause? This was at the throne of God before the Lord ever brought it to earth. Light, power. The brother writes in Hebrews that our God is a consuming fire. You know, unless the Lord's long suffering, unless the Lord reigns back his glory and holds it back, you know, we would just be consumed. But praise be to God, he's had to do with us, and we praise his name for it. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So it's very clear. We've been given a glimpse. Our brother has seen with his own eyes, with his heart, with his soul, with his mind, however the Lord made the vision appear to him. He didn't show him another thing. He showed him the real thing. And he made it to where he could stand it. You reckon, I don't know what normal respirations are. My heart beats around 80 or something like that. You reckon his was just 80, 70? You reckon respirations were about 14? Save with the touch of the Lord upon him, his old body was going berserk. Because we just can't handle it without the Lord helping. But the Lord wanted him to see his glory because of what he's calling him into. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And listen, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. The Lord has shown his glory to Brother Ezekiel for the sake of what he's calling him to. And you know what? That's what we've been given the Word of God, and we need to see the glory of the Lord too. You know, this has been written for us, upon whom the ends of the worlds have come. And from this, you know, we haven't seen it with these eyes like our brother did. But we have seen it by faith in the Scriptures. I mean, I don't doubt that what it says there is true. I'm not able to understand it all the way it really is. But I tell you what, there's enough of a picture there to understand what it is, to know that it's so. And we need to see the glory of the Lord. And we see the glory of the Lord, we'll be willing to speak for him and be obedient to him. Brother Ezekiel is going to be called to some tough duty. I dare say, of all the prophets, he's called to the toughest thing and most difficult, most shameful thing that any prophet has ever been called into. We'll take a look at that. And I think that there's a reason for that. And we'll see, Lord willing, more about that next time. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our great God and King. We point you to the one that's on that throne. And Jesus now that sits there at the right hand of the Father. You need God. And he's revealed himself unto the world through his word. And I pray that he'll reveal himself to you. Repent of your sins and trust in him. And for we that are saved, may we see the glory of our Lord, and may we muse and consider and think about these things, not just let them pass. So easy for us to read a passage like this and then just go on. But may we not get over the truth of what the Lord's telling us is there. And Lord willing, as we go along, we'll see more about the Lord's use of our brother in his life.